You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so as it's a Thursday, it's the doubleheader Dream Team on the 5 o'clock shadow, and the two doubleheaders, or the Dream Team rather, is David Shapiro, who's the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Melrose Arch, or no, actually not anymore, but anyway, in Johannesburg, and Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth, who has recently gone back to his office. And Nick?
Live from Ellis Lane, yes.
Very good. How's it going there on that front?
Very quiet. Very, very quiet.
But are you enjoying it?
Loving it. It's just, you know, there's something about like being in the markets and staring out your window on a skyscraper, seeing the Sandton skyline. You know, it kind of fits. Like you don't get the same feel for, like, you know, the old days of like reading the tape if you're sitting in your spare bedroom with my mattress behind me. it's really nice to be back in the mix. And look, the trading floor is 50 people. There were four of us today, so there's still, we're far, far from back to normal. But no, I'm loving coming back. It's been great.
Okay, very good. I mean, my day, for example, I get excited because I got a ring at the door today and someone gave me a book. I'd bought a book about a week ago. I'd forgotten about it just because I was bored during the day. It's called Lionel Messi and the Art of Living. And I got excited about that. But you're at least with four people. I'm toiling here in virtual anonymity. I find myself looking forward to talking to you two on a Tuesday and on a Thursday.
I must say, gents, I walked out the front at lunchtime for the first time in like in 2 years. I walked past the Shushan guy's back, Sam the Shushan boy at the bottom, and he hasn't been around since the whole of COVID. So I dropped a whole lot of shoes off. I sat down, got my shoes polished. I gave him a nice big tip to welcome him back. And the grill house is open. So we are starting to get, for the first time in 6 months.
So decadent. So you're getting your shoes shined. You're buying expensive steaks.
Like a rock star. Yeah.
Unbelievable. David, we had the South African Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee leaving interest rates unchanged today, which I thought was a little bit... I'm a little bit mean of them. I thought there's every opportunity to do 20, at least 25, but they didn't.
Well, the excuse is, let's see whether or not the previous ones are having any effect. So they're delaying it. They could have raised rates, you know, particularly after listening to Jay Powell last night. I mean, and he outlined a very slow recovery in the U.S. economy, which I would assume applies to the rest of the world as well. So there's no stress on growth. There's going to be no huge pickup in demand, which is going to push inflation higher or anything like that. So, you know, from my point of view, is that it makes no difference, you know, if we would have reduced rates or not. I don't think there's anything that, you know, is going to, you know, cause inflation to suddenly peak. So from that point of view, there was every reason for them to have, you know, have reduced rates, but they've chosen not to. The rand improved on that because
also, like yesterday, like the rand was like its strongest it's been in 6 months. So we're at 16.28 against the dollar yesterday. That was in March.
Better than today,
But obviously where we are today is 16.22. But I'm saying like yesterday, before the Saab meeting, we had the best level we were since before COVID. So, I mean, I thought that was like an absolute gift. I mean, if I was Mr. Kanyani and the Saab, like, what a pleasure. You can cut rates. The rand is super strong. You've been blessed by that. And they didn't, which I'm the same as you. I also thought it was a little bit mean. And given the fact that, I mean, Powell last night, I've never heard someone, like, who knows where the world's going to be in 3 years? No. But they're telling you that interest rates are going to be zero in 3 years. So you're right. I also agree, Lindsay. I think it was a little bit mean not to, at least by a quarter, need every help we can get at
the. But on the other hand, the Treasury and the South African Reserve Bank are the two pillars of the South African regime. Are economy and authorities, the two that we can rely on. So we can't really condemn them for what they've done.
Interesting enough, Lindsay and David, the FRAs, the bond markets, floating around, they were pricing in 50 pips cut, eh?
Yes.
50 pips. So someone's got it very wrong.
What's happening at the top end of the market? There hasn't been any change there. I'm just waiting for the latest numbers to come.
9.19 for the 10-year, anyway.
And then, so there hasn't been any change there. Hasn't been a flood of money coming in or anything like that.
No, it's very. I actually said to a client today, it's like a very, very strange market. So, I mean, like we've got just looking at it now. So, I mean, the curve has actually flattened a little bit post the MPC. So, the front end, so 2023, was up 12.5 pips today. quite a big move, the front end. The back end, interesting. I wish I could
show you about 5 points.
Yeah, 6.5 on 2048. So it's a real flattening of this curve. So yeah, as you said, some of these bond traders got a call completely on the wrong side of this trade.
The dollar rand is 16.22. The British pound against the rand is 21.01, and the euro rand is 19.17. With the euro dollar 1.18.17, which is unchanged from the last time that we, well, from this morning anyway. The gold price is 1947, which is down slightly. The platinum price is 938, which is, I can't tell you what the increment is on the downside, but it's down anyway. It's down a little bit.
It's down 3.5%.
Oh, there we go. So that is correct. $35 an ounce down.
European sales, European car sales were down 17%. Or thereabouts.
Sure. Right.
So, you know, that's the diesel demand for platinum. But I saw palladium also came down. So this is, I don't know what the connection was, but I think with motor car sales down, I think that was the story that might have taken platinum down.
So palladium is down, I know Lindsay's going to ask, palladium is down 3%, $73 at 2325. Thank you. Mac. But the weird one for me today, and I cannot fathom why. Why is this dollar so strong today? What is going on with the dollar?
You know what? I don't know whether I got this right, because I was watching last night Jay Powell, and as he started to talk, and said that interest rates were going to remain low for longer, the market actually started to pick up and actually was going strong.
That's right. The S&Ps were up quite significantly at one point.
And then everybody said, hold on a sec, and they started to digest this. Then when he didn't come out with any further talk about bond buying
or stimulus or whatever,
They said, oh, well, we don't know where this is going to go. You know, rates might kick up. If they're not going to come in aggressively buy bonds, rates can go up. And so we had the 10-year going up to 0.7.
And then the last, and then also someone said there were two dissenters last night, which apparently there weren't last time.
It was Kaplan and someone else, I don't know. So anyway,
that's been the strong dollar today is literally dominated the conversation, even besides the Saab. I mean, that's been the one today.
My point on this is, and I have to look at it from a layman's point of view, unlike you two clever chaps, I say to myself, well, it's been 10 years now, and you go to a party and you have, or Nick would have two bottles of wine, and David, you'd have one and a half and fall in your head. But the point is, if you're having tequilas or wine, whatever it is, eventually it doesn't make any difference anymore. You can have six tequilas, but the seventh tequila means absolutely nothing. It doesn't give you any sort of a buzz. And that is what is happening with the central banks. Now, people can what else can you throw at us to make these markets go up?
I thought yesterday was quite an interesting day, because this week has been dominated by IPOs in America. So we've had the biggest sort of flux of initial public offerings on the NASDAQ and NYC. So yesterday Snowflake listed. Okay, it's a cloud computing business. It competes directly with Amazon. It's another cloud computing. Like, we need another one. There's about 400,000 in the world. Here's another one. They lost last year. Before they filed, before their IPO listing, last year they lost $356 million. They don't make money. They lose a third of a billion per year.
What does it do? Snowflake?
Goldman Sachs, they're cloud computing, like Amazon Web Services.
They do software. They're software.
But it's cloud computing, so you basically store your data on the cloud. Okay, but they've got a slightly different Amazon Web Services. You can jump between the clouds. I don't know what it means. Anyway, no, they lose money. I mean, they lose money hand over fist. $356 million last year, just counting. So they listed, Goldman Sachs listed them yesterday. The IPO price was $120. Okay. The specialists.
I must put them on my list.
You must put them on your list. So the specialists on the floor delayed it. It finally listed at 6 p.m. because I was watching. That's a couple of clients were involved.
Our time.
The first trade was $270.
Yeah.
So from $120, the night before they were valued at $33 billion, the next day they were valued at $70 billion. Okay. Mm-hmm. It traded up at $305, up almost 200% on the day. Mm. They don't make a penny. They lose $356 million. They are now valued. The funny thing was Goldman's listed them, right? On the listing, because it popped 200-odd%, it was valued more than Goldman's. Mm-hmm. The guys are listed. So for me, I'm also thinking like maybe that was a little bit of ring the bell.
Yeah, but Nick, you and I have been ringing bells for the last year and a half.
Yeah, and we keep getting it wrong. You're
dead right. Goldman Sachs is $68 billion market cap.
Snowflake is
64 today. They're down 6%. Anyway, that's close. There we go.
I just thought it was quite a funny one, yeah.
I think it's a very sad one, actually. But anyway, what happened on the JSE today? Any news corporate-wise? Yeah, Woolworths, of course, this morning. Though. Yeah. Woolworths, David.
It was futures closeout, eh? So there was
we forgot about that.
It was about $37 billion, but everything came down. The irony, what I can't understand, and it's been happening progressively or virtually every day, Woolworths come out with numbers. You know, when you read through that, there's hardly anything that gets you going. I no longer go through the results in great detail because it doesn't make any sense.
It's coming from you that actually goes a long way.
That's one for the archives.
Yesterday I also went through Discovery because I thought, no, I want to go through the actual statements. Lindsay, this is what I do. You know, ones that they file. Mm. And I could not understand the entries because once you get into the insurance account, you know, where there are adjustments there, they have some descriptions which I had never heard in my life.
David, yes. I read out one on the show yesterday or the day before to Lindsay in the morning about a one-liner. Like, it was literally like something out of a thesaurus. Like, I had no idea what it meant. I had no idea. And my guys this morning tried to summarize it on a morning meeting, and they actually laughed. They said that only Discovery could, like, make these earnings actually sound quite bullish because they were rubbish. But they made
So I found something called the Economic Assumptions Adjustment, not a discretionary margin.
We spoke about that. Yeah.
5.708 billion rand written off. Economic Assumptions Adjustment, net of discretionary margins.
But what does that mean?
I don't know. You know, that's what I'm saying. So I'm going through the accounts. I'm saying, what does that mean? You know, and so when you go through the accounts and this, why I bring it up is because this was one of the numbers they reversed to get to their adjusted number, you know, which was only down 26%. So
You'd like our research team down in the Western Cape because they're very conservative, old school. I think they still have checkbooks and they still sharpen their pencils. Like, they're literally that old school. We've never liked Discovery, but not anything to do with the business. I think they like the business, but they said they just don't understand the accounting. They cannot get their head around it. They've tried. They've had conference calls. They've spoken to management. They just do not understand the accounting. So we've never owned it. That's the only reason.
And that's valid reason. I'm not my daughter works for them in New York, and they pay her salary, and she works very hard for Vitality. But I like to go through accounts, you know, when they publish them. I like to go through the very old-fashioned, the revenue and the costs and that. I don't go to all the adjustments and the I think with Woolworths, you know, you get all kinds of diluted, adjusted headline earnings and so on. Those, they don't exist. Those are numbers that are made up by the JSE or made up by, I don't know, the financial services industry or what's it, the CFA industry, whatever it is. So whatever it is, it doesn't make sense. I like to know, what does the cash book look like and what are the results that they present to the registrar of companies look like, or in this case, probably to the insurance regulator. So I like to try and make sense. I can't. I know is that the last year they made about 176 million. Sorry, this year they made 176 million. I think last year they made something in the billions. And that makes sense to me. You know, and that's what I like to look at. Yeah, 6.6 billion last year, 176 million this year. I'm saying, I can understand that.
What makes sense to me is whether you're going to tell me to buy or sell it, David Shapiro and Nick Kunzel.
You know what? If you can't understand the accounting, and to quote Buffett, this, you know, it's the language of business. If you can't understand the language of business, don't buy it. You know, just don't buy it. And I'm not saying it, I'm saying it almost appealing to actuaries, appealing to Sanlam and Anglo, Old Mutual and Discovery and that. Just make it understandable that investment people like us can say, oh, yes, I know what they're doing.
Yeah, so we've got this really, really old school chap who analyzes all the sort of financial sector in Sanlam. His name is Renier, like a real old school Afrikaner, like a quality, as I said, sharpens his pencils, goes through. He started laughing during the call. He actually started laughing. I don't know if he was like rocking his knees and sort of sitting in the shower and crying, but he was laughing trying to understand these results. He said he just cannot fathom any. He went to the conference call, he asked his questions, he said he's none the wiser, we're still staying away, he has no idea, like David said, what half the stuff actually means, you know. So I agree with you, that it just I plead to people that, like, this just make the stuff easy to understand, because you'd make your shares more liquid, people buy them, you understand it. I do not understand Discovery, whether it's a buy at 130 or a sell. I have no clue.
Okay, what about Woolworths?
Woolies, jeez. I saw a note today, David. I don't know if you saw it. Cutting their sort of their foot space by like 15 or 20% across the board.
This is the new CEO. Yeah,
that can't be good for the
landlords.
Sorry. Yeah, I was going to say on the flip side for the property guys, because they've got a lot of foot space. Eh?
I know. I think you're going to find more and more of this happening. I the food side of Woolworths
pumping
done superbly, really, and I love the store, and I love the quality that you get there. But
why can't we just spin off this David Jones and just get rid of it?
Well, you know, this is a headache of monumental note. And I don't understand. I go to Australia often, and I used to go in there. It was an iconic brand.
The David Jones? Because apparently you could enlighten us. I haven't been to Australia, but apparently the David Jones sort of main store, like, there's literally like
Elizabeth
the Harrods
Street.
Of
yeah.
it's like the Harrods.
Yeah.
It's like an iconic building.
It was like that, but it had gone off and it had lost a lot of its luster. Mm. And Woolworths wasn't like that, because it is exactly like Harrods and was exactly like Selfridges, where you had stores within stores.
Would you put that? I mean, would David Jones in Australia back in the day be like up there with a high end store?
Yes, exactly. Very snooty. You know, when I was a kid, Nick.
Says something about Australia that a snooty store is called David
your
Jones.
Was like, What's yeah, that? Your mom was like this. So your family were like this. So we would go to town. We would go to town, and we'd go to Greatermans and John Orr's, and my mom would take me. And she would always wear gloves, and I was smartly dressed. And we'd go to Anstey's, and I would go for lunch with her. I was really a baby, and I mean 5, 6, 7, 8. And we'd sit there, and I loved to have cold meats and salads at Anstey's. And while we were sitting there, mannequins would come. You know what a mannequin was? It was like a model. And they would parade the fashions amongst the ladies eating lunch.
You must have been like torn inside with your communist upbringing. I mean, you must have
that
really
was my,
bad.
I'm married into that. I'm married into the commie party. Yeah. but that's what these department stores were like. And you would go down to the David Jones food hall.
This day, I'm just laughing to myself, because this day with hashtag, with women's you can't say Harvey Weinstein, unless you have a model like modeling her clothing while you eat your ham sandwich.
It was exactly like it was. I promise you. If anybody's old enough who's listening to this would remember. I remember.
It's a different era.
And they would wear and the woman would look at the fashions. You know,
so your point being, what does Woolies do now with that David Jones?
Well,
I mean,
that's their heritage.
The world has
that's
changed,
why I
right?
bring it up. The world has changed. Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And if you look at if you go to New York, you'll find all the departments. And it's happening in London as well, or in the UK as well. All the departments. Barney went out. Mm. Neiman Marcus down in Hudson Yard, which had only opened for a year. These were all these very snooty department stores, which have all gone and been under huge, huge pressure as well. I would imagine that Bloomingdale's and Saks are also taking a lot of strain at the moment.
I'm taking a lot of strain at the moment to listening to you two. I'm surprised at you, Nick, actually. You're becoming as old as me and David. Anyway, so we're not buying Woolworths, we're not buying Discovery, and the market is down. Let's have a look at the S&P and NASDAQ, if we can, Nick, because S&P at one stage was down over 1%, but it's fighting back. It's only down 0.7% at the moment. NASDAQ futures are around about 1.1% weaker. 1.4% down. It's got a little bit of a dodgy feel about it. Do you agree?
Yes. For those who are listening into context, 33.54 on the S&P future, so 3.354. At the low of the day was 3.311. So I thought it was going to retest the 3,300. So it's bounced, 40-odd points off the low. Not sure why. Volatility is back with a vengeance, and we can see that. The VIX is up another 2% today, 26.5. So I think, this is for the traders out there. Put this in your – this is September for you. This is what happens. And we're getting closer and closer to the 3rd of November. Yeah. And you're going to get this volatility. And traditionally, that's what September does. It brings the vol back.
I also think that the markets, first of all, when Powell said, hold on, 3 years at low interest rates, your stomach goes into a little bit of a knot because he's saying recovery slow. That was my first thought. This is not fun. In other words, it's not going to be a sharp recovery. It's going to be long, protracted. That to me was, just was a major worry.
Like a red flag.
Like a red flag. And then the other one is the stimulus program. We need stimulus. Jay Powell can't do anything. The Fed can do X amount. It's now up to, Congress.
I think they're also running a little bit out of bullets. Then I've just thrown the conversation, Bank of England today. They said they in their sort of conference, they said they've muted the idea of negative interest rates in the UK. It's like unheard of that every major country in the world is moving towards a negative interest rate environment. Like I thought, my initial gut reaction was like, buy gold, buy commodities, buy this is inflationary, this is what's going to happen. And of course, I don't know what happened. So it's one of those really strange days. Where all of a sudden, maybe it was a flight to quality, maybe it was people saying, let's just get into the dollar. Reserve currency of choice, buy the dollar, wait to see what happens if it does settle. But I thought today, in the last few days, there's been some very interesting moves, which I think we'll remember.
Okay, well, we'll have a look at that.
Good. This is all very good for Lindsay, you know that.
Why?
Not only for his short position, but also for Trump, because Trump needs the economy. And what happens now, Trump's adverts are all focusing on the economy. And if the economy ain't
the stock
working,
market.
If that's not
Mr.
working,
401k man, as he calls himself. Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, I've got to be at a bar in 13 minutes' time, I have to. It's a business meeting. I promise you, it is. Okay. And it sounds implausible, but it's absolutely right. But Nick, I'll tell you about the bar in a moment. But Nick, give us the closing indices, please, at the on the JSE Securities Exchange.
Okay, a bit of a rubbish day. I hate to even recite these, but we have to. So all share still holding 55,035. Down 1.65%, 925 points lower. Top 40, just as rubbish, 1.8% down, just holding 50,700. If we go through, there is nothing in the green. Actually, healthcare up 0.5%, but all the rest are in the red. Next start at the top, we've got telecommunications down 0.25%, industrials down 0.44%. Financials, and this is another one, despite the strong rand, financials down 0.67%. Again, utilities down 0.77. Basic materials had a tough session, down 2.38%. Gold shares got absolutely killed. Anyway, value trader, because we haven't even spoken about it with all our banter.
Futures closeout.
It was futures closeout, so it's a little bit skewed. 37.606 billion value trader.
Yeah, and on good days, on good futures closeout days, which is, of course, four times a year, once a quarter, 40. You can get 50 to 60 billion. So that tells you a lot of things. Anyway, I'm going to this bar, and it's owned by a gangster and his supermodel wife, or ex-supermodel wife. And they're very, very nice people, but, you don't want to look at the owner slightly askew, he's a big chap, but I go there. But anyway, I was talking to them, and they said that around about 3 months ago, when everything closed down in the Netherlands, they borrowed €50,000 to keep going and keep the staff on, etc. Then in the next 3 months, in other words, what was it, May, June, July, August, they made everything back that they'd lost by being closed down because people came out of their shells. But they've kept the 50,000 euro facility because they say that from around about now, actually, when the weather starts to get, things start to get a bit cold and people don't want to be inside with other people, they're going to need the 50,000 euros. And it's almost like the stock market. It was almost like a metaphor for the stock market. You know, you had this great surge, but apparently, you know, things are looking a little bit shaky. So that was my story, and I'm going to go and have a chat with them today and be nice to them because they know where I live. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time this evening. It's David Shapiro from Sesson Securities and also Nick Kunzer from Sandham Private Wealth. And that was the double-headed dream team, the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.